Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm pleased to have my friend Bob Port on as a guest. And he's here to talk about the Republicans and the Republican Convention. So, Bob, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty well. As you know, I'm fighting stage 4 cancer, but with the help of the VA, I'm getting excellent medical care here in New York City. I'm in something called immunotherapy, which is a new regimen of drugs that are have great promise.
That's great, but how long you've been taking? You've been on medication now for a year and a half, correct, almost?
That's right. I went through almost a year of chemotherapy, which was very effective, but it's also very effective at damaging your body, your kidneys, and so forth. So that's no longer a viable choice.
Wow.
But cancer care is very complicated, and sometimes they won't give you the newest drug until they've finished with the old drug. It makes no sense, but that's how it is, and it's so expensive. My immunotherapy treatments cost the government $30,000 a month.
Oh, my God. Wow. You know, you're still
life
alive,
is,
so that's the important thing.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the Republican Convention in New York City. What were your views of what you heard and what you saw?
Well, I have become a registered Republican, believe it or not, in my old age. I've taken on much more conservative views, and it reminded me that it's really tough to be a Republican in New York State. Everybody hates you, and nobody likes you, and you can go eat dirt is kind of the predominant attitude. And it was a very subdued convention. It wasn't much of a convention. I think from what I read and listened to the news coverage, I try to soak in all of this. A lot of the delegates just didn't even show up for the business meetings. They were lucky to get a quorum at many of them. And at the end of it all, they nominated a slate of candidates who are people that I suspect most New Yorkers have never heard of, and some I had never known much about. But on reflection, I think they did the best they could do. And Marcus Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, is a very interesting person, and he has a very compelling personal story. I actually think he has a shot. In fact, I think all the candidates the Republicans have put forward are good people who can compete very well. I don't think any of them are likely to win anything, but I was, you know, even though nobody knows who these people are, I think they're good people, and events that unfold through this summer and into fall could make it possible for some of them to win. I mean, we saw the Republican Party in New York this week nominate an African-American man to be Attorney uh-huh. General of New York for the first time in history. And he's an amazing guy. Keith Wofford grew up in Buffalo, Harvard Law School, educated, working at a law firm in New York City. So we have on the Democrat side, of course, Tish James, a completely worthless left-wing agitator who has essentially done nothing of any great consequence as a politician, running against this guy, Keith Lawford. So I'd say we're going to have a black attorney general in New York come next year, which is neat.
Now, one of the candidates for statewide office is or was a registered Democrat. Who was that?
You're thinking of Jonathan Trichter, an investment banker who has been a Democrat for a long time and active in Democratic politics, once worked for Eliot Spitzer when he was Attorney General. And he's another interesting candidate. I suspect there are many Republicans across New York who feel that their party has lost its mind to see them choose Mr. Trichter. But I've heard him interviewed, and I've read some of his materials, and he has expertise in finance. And that's exactly what you want in a state controller, the sole trustee of the state pension fund, which pays your pension, Cynthia. You're a retired state employee.
Right.
And it's extremely important. It's extremely important that fund be managed, and it be managed with the fiduciary interest of all of its members involved and all the citizens of the state. And Tom DiNapoli has certainly done a good job of managing that fund. But if you look very closely, you'll see that Mr. DiNapoli plays politics with the investments of New York pensioners. He hasn't divested all of its investments in fossil fuels, as some people would like, which is idiotic. But he has used his power as a stockholder to push them, to write letters, to try to change from within some of these companies. I don't think the trustee of a pension fund should do that. I think he should be, his job is to make money for the fund so that it can pay people like you who are retired, and it can continue to fund new state employees without raking more money from taxpayers. So Trichter is a good candidate. I don't think he has a snowball's chance against DiNapoli, who is a really nice guy and extremely well-liked and totally supported by labor unions in New York. But, you know, across the board, you look at the Republican slate this year, and I'm saying to myself, are these really Republicans? They're more like Democrats. Mark Molinaro, the gubernatorial candidate, he didn't vote for Donald Trump. He wrote in the name of Chris Gibson, the former congressman, Republican congressman. And that's not a bad thing for the Republican Party in New York, because from what I can observe, what's probably going to define the result in November is what I would call New York State mass Trump derangement syndrome. All of the candidates in this race are simply climbing over each other to describe how much they hate Donald Trump. So the Republicans are not saying that, but they're kind of implying that, and that's fine, because if they come out in strong support of our president, they're going to lose. They're just going to lose.
Wow. I saw Liz Benjamin this week interview Cox, and she really raked him over the coals. Do you think Ed Cox is still a good Republican chairman, or do you think it's time for him to move over and really build the party?
I think it's time for him to go, but he's not going to. And I'm not quite sure who would replace him, who would be any more effective. So I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. But I do think that I would have, as a Republican, someone who has conservative values, particularly fiscal conservatism, I want to see this state cut its budget and really economize and make wise investments in infrastructure and all of that. And that's just not a popular point of view. So Ed Cox is playing taking the hand that's dealt him and trying to make the best of it. I'm not sure in these times that it wouldn't be as effective to really put forth strong conservative candidates who would home in on certain key issues. The problem is New York State is so blue, you will probably lose. For Mark Molinaro to win in a state where the enrollment, party enrollment, is 2-1, Democrat to Republican, huge numbers of independents who tend to lean Democratic, you just can't be too strong in your statements. So it's a balancing act. And that's what Ed Cox is doing. I'm not sure that any other pathway would be more effective. And the Republicans just don't really have the money to fight the Democrats in New York. So Ed Cox is from a different era. I hope the Republican Party can come up with new leadership. It may emerge, and if Mark Molinaro wins, this state will, and the Republican Party, I think, will begin to go through a lot of positive change. And it actually is possible this year because the Democrats are essentially in the process of savaging one another. And that's a beautiful thing for someone like me to watch. I hope that the campaign between Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo, who I would refer to as the Vladimir Putin of New York, it just becomes ugly and ugly and uglier as the summer goes on. And I hope there are some major subway breakdowns in the city. Even I use the subways, rely on them. I hope nobody gets hurt. But that is one of the gigantic issues that could shift things as we head toward the primary in September. So it's not a lot for Mark Molinaro to do. Just say the right things, be a nice guy instead of a bully like the current governor, and wait till September and let's see what happens with Cynthia Nixon. Even if she loses the primary against Andrew Cuomo, which she probably will, almost certainly will, I hope she stays on. I think by law, her name has to remain on the ballot from the Working Families Party. So I would love, as a Republican, to see the Democrats just continue to fight one another, push things more and more radical, left-wing policies as we go into September. And I want Howie Hawkins and Cynthia Nixon to siphon as many votes as possible against the traditional Democrat Hillary Clinton Andrew Cuomo machine, so that Mark Molinaro, who will win overwhelmingly upstate, can actually get a foothold. And what Marcus Molinaro needs to do is get his young butt down to New York City, ride the subways, and get known by people in New York City. Because he's got to win about a third of New York City if he has any hope of getting elected governor. But he could do it. He could do it.
There was talk a while back that John DeFrancisco would be the candidate.
Yes.
What happened with that?
Well, he got pushed out by Ed Cox and Ed Cox's friends and colleagues, I think, who took on the point of view that John DeFrancisco is a fantastic guy. He is a gentleman and a scholar, and he really is. I mean, as you know, I worked 8 years as the investigations editor at the Albany Times-Union. And John DeFrancisco was one of the Republican members of the Senate you could always go to and get a straight answer. He doesn't shy away from the press. Just a total stand-up guy. Disclosure, I contributed $100 to his campaign fund the minute he announced. And I'm sorry to see him go. But I think there was a recognition that he just can't win. In 2018 in New York State, he just is not going to appeal to a sufficient number of people in and around the city, which drives the final vote, and Mark Molinaro is the better choice. Mark Molinaro is a mystery to many people. He's an unknown, and they're hoping to do a repeat, the GOP is, of 1994 when George Pataki surprised everybody by defeating Mario Cuomo. So
now,
it's sad to see, but you look at John DeFrancisco's view. You look at Mr. DeFrancisco's views on social issues, and he's in the wrong place. He's pro-life, and pretty adamantly so. And that's not going to win in New York State. It's just not. So he had to go. I think Ed Cox and other committee chairpersons in the GOP recognize that, and they very quietly courted Mark Molinaro. And DeFrancisco, being a pragmatist and a realist, and knowing full well the Republican Party cannot fight within itself this year if it has any hopes of ultimately winning, he very gracefully bowed out, like the gentleman that he is.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Mark Molinaro,
yes.
Is he more to the center than DeFrancisco is?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He is.
Okay.
Just to give you a straight answer.
So if he's more to the center than DeFrancisco, and the Democratic Party shunned aside all the progressives, all of the Bernie people, and embrace the centrist doctrine in the Democratic Convention, what's the difference then between Molinaro and Cuomo? It doesn't seem to be that different.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. They're both ultimately center-leaning politicians. The difference is Mark Molinaro is not corrupt, and he's not a bully and a mean person. That's the difference. And corruption, ethics, New York government is one of Mark Molinaro's and also Cynthia Nixon's key issues. There needs to be serious, massive ethics reform in New York. It's way, way overdue. Andrew Cuomo will talk about it, and he doesn't get it done. And he himself is corrupt, and he's surrounded himself with other people who are corrupt. And I think people who closely watch government recognize this. We've already seen Joe Prococo, his longtime aide campaign manager, convicted of conspiracy to take bribes. We're going to see more trials later this year. We're going to see the retrial of Dean Skelos, one of Mr. Cuomo's former allies. And I don't know how closely New Yorkers will watch these things, because New Yorkers are so cynical and so jaded and so used to this. But if Mr. Molinaro can crystallize these issues, capitalize on them, it's going to make some headway. I mean, I hope during some of these trials we'll see some of the people charged with federal crimes from the Cuomo administration flip against the governor and give testimony about the governor's involvement in some of these bribery schemes, maybe the Buffalo Billion. That would just make massive headlines, garner all kinds of attention, and it could shift the focus of the race. Will it happen? I don't know. But anything could happen. That's what's so interesting. It's a crazy, crazy year for politics in New York.
Even though you're down in Queens now, yeah, you are able to listen to Fred Dicker's show on the internet, and Fred Dicker has been criticizing the Republican Party. He criticized the Republican convention. How do you feel about his commentary about the state of the Republicans?
I think Fred is right on the money. I mean, thoroughly enjoy his show, and you're right. With the internet these days, I listen to everything I can get my hands on. Every podcast, I read every news report. Fred has the wisdom of having been in the middle of it in Albany for so many decades that he knows what's going on. And I think he cares about the Republican Party, and he has seen it just slowly deteriorate. And it's so fractured and it's so divided in the state, and we so desperately need a loyal opposition in a state like New York. And you know, Fred's criticism of the GOP this year seems to be, who are these candidates? Nobody ever heard of them. They never really did anything. Can't you come up, Ed Cox, with somebody better? And Fred is right. And I think Ed Cox is right. No, we can't come up with anyone better. And here it is. You know, who's going to reunify the Republican Party in New York? Al D'Amato? Give me a break.
He's still a power broker. He's involved in lobbying.
I suppose,
right?
Yes. But he's not going to revitalize the Republican Party in New York. I don't even know what the Republican Party in New York stands for anymore, except a few basic things. And but Fred's commentary, I think, is pretty much right on the money, and he has the wisdom of experience.
Let's talk a little bit about what you mentioned, the word corruption, just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And you tagged that onto Cuomo. Okay, now,
yeah.
one of the ways that corruption can cease in this state is closing the LLC law, okay? The LLC loophole. But
right.
One of the people that are responsible for keeping it that way is Felder. He's a Democrat.
Yes.
He's caucusing with the Republicans. So you can't blame the executive branch when it's the legislative branch that's holding up, you know, eliminating corruption in the state. What do you think?
Well, that's a very fair point. But I blame them. I blame all of them. If Governor Cuomo wanted to end the LLC loophole, he could do it now. He has that much power over the legislature. He could just call Carl Hastie and John Flanagan into a room and say, gentlemen, we're going to shut down the LLC loophole, and we're going to do it before the end of the legislative session. And if you don't work with me on this, I'll destroy you. That's exactly how the conversation would go, and I think they could do it. After all, Andrew Cuomo has already milked the system for millions of dollars through this loophole, and so he has nothing to worry about. And they could get it done. The LLC loophole is emblematic of what's wrong with New York. For listeners who may not know, it essentially allows a limited liability company, a partnership, to contribute. It allows people who control LLCs or want to set some up to contribute unlimited money to political parties or to political candidates. I don't think there's anything else like it in the United States. It's absolutely insane, and it needs to end last year. Yeah, you can blame Cynthia Felder for the LLC loophole. You can blame tons of people. But I got to blame the guy who's sitting on the second floor, the big one, man, Andrew Cuomo. Because if he wanted to do it, he could do it. And he apparently doesn't want to do it enough. Now, he would have to give something to the legislative leaders, but so what? There's so many reforms that are required in New York to really straighten things out. It's just mind-boggling. Term limits would be a good thing. Term limits for the legislative leaders, that would be a good thing. Same-day voter registration, that would be a good thing. I mean, it's a catalog that's an inch thick of the things that should be done.
As your final thoughts, you think that the Republican ticket, is viable, but not electable? Would you say that?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think it's a very good ticket. I think any of the people on that list are completely qualified to do hold the jobs they're running for. And none of them will probably win because this is New York. It's a blue state, and it is in the midst of a massive Trump derangement syndrome election year. So unless events conspire to shift things a different way, come November, I'll predict nothing will change. Everything will be exactly the same as it has been in New York politically, including possibly this control of the state Senate.
That was my next question. Do you think the Republicans will still be... See, they, at this point, they're hanging on by a thread. They're saving grace is Felder, who caucuses with them. Other than Felder, they don't have anything in this state. So that was my next question. Do you think that the Republicans will hold on to the state Senate?
I think they probably cannot this year. I think they probably will lose a seat in the Hudson Valley, and they may lose a seat on Long Island. And then Simca Felder may go one way or another. But it depends. These races tend to be, Senate races tend to be very localized, and they can sometimes turn on strange issues, and they really are driven by the personalities of those involved. And I'm not sure that we know yet exactly what the who the candidates will be in some of these seats. But there is a blue puddle in New York, and I don't know if it'll be a wave, but it might be. I think there will definitely be a tendency for Democrats to get excited, to actually go out and vote, and they're going to tend to vote for Democrats because most New Yorkers just have no idea what they're doing and who they're choosing. They just choose the Democrats.
So it's going to be it's going to be an interesting summer to watch all this unfold. And hopefully, you know, you'll stay well, and hopefully you might want to share your thoughts on Focus on Albany again. So do you have any final thoughts?
Well, my project this Memorial Day weekend, other than just enjoying some of the nice weather, is to research U-Haul rental rates to move out of New York. It's just gotten too expensive for me in New York City. The rents keep going up and other costs. So I hope I'm not even around to see what happens in November. I think a lot of other Republicans ought to consider the same options. I hate to be so depressing, but I think for Republicans, things are not very hopeful.
So we'll watch things unfold, and I'll keep in contact with you, Bob. So you have been listening to Bob Port, and he's the former, I don't remember your title.
Senior editor for investigations.
At the Times Union. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, leave a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And, Bob, stay well. And, you know, I'll be keeping in contact with you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Thank you.